In January 1910, heavy rainfall and temperatures warm enough to melt snow and ice in the mountains of central France caused the Seine to peak at approximately 20 feet above normal, its highest level in over 250 years. It spilled over its banks and flooded Paris, displacing residents and causing widespread damage that would be in the billions today. 100 years later, Jeffrey H. Jackson tells that story in Paris Underwater, How the City of Light Survived the Great Flood of 1910. He is Associate Professor of History and Director of the Environmental Studies Program at Rhodes College. His book is published by Palgrave Macmillan. I'm very pleased that it brings him to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this is the first time I've even heard about this flood. Is it something that everyone in France is familiar with?
Actually, no. One of the funny things about this event is that it's something that is largely forgotten in many ways. It's something that people have, that it kind of lingers in the realm of myth and legend, storytelling, but nobody's really done a kind of serious investigation of it.
Do you think it's because this is something you don't want tourists to know about?
I think it's more about the fact that just 4 years after the flood, of course, World War I comes along. And I think that that event is so much more traumatic and more important in the memories of people in France that it kind of overshadows the flood.
Although Paris was not occupied during World War I, it took World War II for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Was your interest in writing about the flood sparked at all by what happened during and after Hurricane Katrina?
Absolutely. I first found out about the flood in the summer of 2005. I went down into the sewers of Paris. You can tour the sewers, and I was there and saw a photograph of the flood, and I had never heard of this before. It was something that was completely new to me. So I saw that photograph in the summer of 2005, and then, of course, that fall was Hurricane Katrina, and at that point I said to myself, you know, this isn't a story that I need to tell.
Most of us, when we go down those sewers, we're thinking about Les Mis.
Right.
Are there other signs that there was a flood? For example, if you go to Florence, you see the waterline on frescoes.
Mm-hmm. There are some markers that they installed the year after the flood. And if you know what they are, then you know that, that they refer to the flood. But a lot of people, I think, don't recognize what they are because they're not aware that is a marker that shows the high water mark of the flood of 1910.
So how do you research a story like this if it's been largely forgotten? I'm assuming that it was a big event in newspapers and magazines at the time. Did people also write about it in their memoirs?
I was kind of surprised at the lack of writing about the flood in people's memoirs. So for me, there were a couple of main sources. One were the photographs, because there actually are hundreds and hundreds of photographs. And this is one of the few areas where the flood is still remembered, and people still do collect these photographs today. But for me, the other main source was to go into the archives, deep into the archives, and look at engineering reports, look at government documents, look at memos, look at letters that people had written to government officials asking for assistance, unemployment records, things like that.
A lot of the Paris that we know today was built in the late 19th century. Mm-hmm. So how much of that was affected? What about the civic planner Georges Eugène Haussmann, who kind of laid out Paris, was he doing that before or after the flood?
That was before the flood.
Did he do it with Paris's history with the Seine overflowing, which we'll get to in a moment, in mind?
In many ways, yes. I mean, his Haussmann rebuilt much of the city. It's the city that we think of as Paris. But he was also interested in redoing the urban infrastructure of the city as well. So he had he directed his the person who oversaw the water services to create the sewer system that would be, you know, that would be big enough that would take away large amounts of runoff. And so this man named Belgrand, he created recommendations for things like how high the walls should be along the river. Unfortunately, some of those recommendations were not followed in the years later.
What about the sewers? Were they big enough to handle the water?
They weren't. They were able to handle some of it, but they were not able to handle the large volume of water in the flood. And so one of the things that would happen is that people would go down to their basement and they would see water. And so they would pull the drain plug, thinking that that would release the water into the sewer. But they didn't realize that the sewer was continuing to back up and overflow and would come back up into their homes.
Hasn't Paris always had a precarious relationship with the Seine? The city had a number of floods over the century, didn't it?
It's had recurring floods. There were sort of normal winter floods. And there were a few, you know, large floods.
1206, you say the city was nearly half the city was flooded.
Right. And so one of the things that, that the city has tried to do over the centuries is to control the river, to find ways to channel it, to make sure that it doesn't have some kind of devastating effect. And so by the turn of the 20th century, people really felt like they had gotten to the point where they had, in fact, figured out how to control the river to make the city safe. But that was the irony of this flood in 1910, is that it proved that, in fact, they had not reached that level of control that they thought.
And how much of the city was underwater in 1910?
It's hard to say exactly, but pretty much all of the neighborhoods along the river, both banks, right and left bank, and also many of the towns upstream and downstream from Paris as well.
What about the two islands in the middle of the river that really are the beginning of Paris, Cité and Saint-Louis? Notre Dame, the cathedral, is on one of those islands.
That's right. Both of the islands were flooded. And speaking of Notre Dame, the crypt in the basement where the bishops of Paris are buried was flooded as well. And there's some interesting photographs of the flooding of that crypt. The Palais de Justice, where the prison is also on the island, and they had to remove prisoners from the jail to take them to safety.
My guest is Jeffrey H. Jackson. His book, Paris Underwater: How the City of Light Survived the Great Flood of 1910. It's published by Macmillan Palgrave. And on the cover, we have a big picture of the Eiffel Tower, which was already there.
It was. Eiffel Tower was built in 1889 for the 100th anniversary of the French Revolution. And during the flood, that whole area around the Eiffel Tower was flooded. And it looks like, if you look at the photographs, it looks like it's sort of emerging out of a murky lake rather than the beautiful Champ de Mars where it normally sits.
You write, the first day of 1910 was unusually sunny and warm. Paris was generally cold at that time of year, so the mild weather was an especially welcome change. Elsewhere in France that day, the scene was not as bright. So this is what you're talking about, the towns that were just a little upstream?
The part of what happened was that a low-pressure system had moved across the English Channel and sort of parked itself over northern France. So there was a lot of rain that was coming along the coast and along other parts of France north of Paris. But the rain would move back in. It had been raining off and on all winter long. And so there was just that brief respite, it seemed, of sun before the bad weather moved back in and continued to saturate the soil.
What happened in the town of La Roye, which is 50 miles southeast of Paris, along the Loing River?
Yeah, La Roye is a mining town, and the people of that town were going about their normal business. It was rainy, but they were continuing to go to the mines and work, and all of a sudden a major landslide sent soil down the mountainside and basically covered the town, destroyed it. And there was a massive rescue effort of people. And that was really sort of one of the first signs that something was, that this was not going to be an ordinary flood.
And wasn't that a warning to the people of Paris? What happened?
In some ways it was, but...
The Seine was rising.
Right. The Seine was rising, and they knew that it was rising, but they really thought that it was a normal winter flood because the Seine tends to flood every winter. They didn't realize that it would be this bad, that essentially there was a kind of perfect storm of events, but nobody was really expecting that. And so even though they knew about what was happening in towns like Lory and others upstream, they just sort of dismissed it and didn't think that it would come to Paris, because they believed that they had the infrastructure, the technology, the sewers, and everything to take care of themselves.
And what happened when none of that was enough?
Once they realized, you know, that this was not an ordinary flood and that the water
wasn't going to retreat.
Right, and that the water was bubbling up from below, that it was moving, rushing through the sewers, rushing through the subway tunnels, into neighborhoods that no one had expected it to go, they had to improvise, and they did. Boats began to row through the city streets. People were rescued. They began to build wooden walkways so that they could continue to move about the city as best they could. And there were also lots of rescue efforts, emergency shelters opened in government buildings and in churches throughout the city. And there was a real sense of people trying to come together and find a way to overcome this.
Was it easy for them to come together? After all, the flood occurred not long after the Dreyfus Affair had erupted, and that had pretty much polarized the people of France.
Well, that was one of the things that surprised me most, and in many ways was part of what led me what interested me in this project. It was the timing of this event. It's just after the Dreyfus Affair and just before World War I, and this is a moment when French society is very divided politically, religiously, socially, economically. There had been a depression in the 1880s, and so I really didn't know what to expect, but in fact, people did come together, and they found a way to rally and to save themselves and their city.
Was Paris already the city of light? Was it electrified?
It was beginning to be electrified. The World's Fair in 1889, which was where the Eiffel Tower was built, and also the World's Fair of 1900 had both really begun to demonstrate the uses of electricity. In 1900, the World's Fair, electricity was sort of the prime show of the fair that year. And so there were more and more things becoming electrified. The Orsay train station, which was one of the major sites of flooding in 1910, was the first electric train station in the world. Mm-hmm. And the metro was electric. So a lot of electricity went out. Absolutely. Electric generators were, which happened to be situated near the river, they shorted out. And so, electricity went off all over the city. So even if you lived in a neighborhood where the ground was still dry, you may have been affected by this flood when your electricity went out or when your gas went out or some other service.
I'm assuming people died.
That's one of the interesting things about the story is that very few people drowned. The official records show really just a handful of people drowning. But it's really impossible to know the death toll. And I don't say, I don't give an exact number in the book because there are also lots of anecdotal reports that I saw in newspapers and other sources about things like suicides or people getting ill, catching pneumonia. So it's really hard to put a number on it. But it wasn't an enormous number of people.
This sort of thing really leads usually to a change in the face of a city, mm-hmm. the Great Fire in Chicago, mm-hmm. the earthquake in San Francisco. What happened in Paris?
Well, it's hard to know exactly what would have happened because, I think the Great War in 1914 really sort of cuts short any sort of long-term implications of what might have come out of the flood. But in the immediate aftermath, I think people really, they do come together. And I talk about it in the book as sort of obviously unbeknownst to them, but as a kind of dress rehearsal for the war. It gives them an opportunity to sort of work through some of those divisions that they had lived through and experienced. And really to sort of to find ways to live together, work together, and come together.
Some have suggested that the flood was the result of environmental degradation caused by things like excessive deforestation mm-hmm. upstream. Is that a commonly held opinion in France?
You mean at the time or today?
Well, at the time, would they even have made that connection?
I don't think so. I mean, there were a few people who talked about the idea of deforestation. But this was really a time when what we think of as a sort of environmental awareness was really only sort of dawning. So it wasn't something that they were making the strong connection between at that point.
Didn't the Seine and other French rivers rise somewhat recently in 1993-94 and then again 2002-2003?
Right. As I say, there is a normal winter rise, but from time to time there is this kind of extraordinary rise that comes along. And there have been moments when people really, again, have wondered or worried about the possibility of another catastrophic flood. So far, that has not happened, and let's continue to hope that that doesn't happen.
Although there was a film in 2006 called Paris 2011, mm-hmm. La Grande Inondation, mm-hmm. that imagined what would happen if the Seine would flood today.
Right. It's an interesting film because it's a fictional it's a fictional documentary. So it's based on the idea of what would happen if a flood like this happened again, and it goes through this whole scenario about if Paris were to flood, what would be the consequences, and the conclusion that the film comes to is that everything will be okay.
How convenient.
Exactly. It's a way of, I think, sort of calming people and saying, don't worry, because the Paris police does have a flood plan. And that flood plan today is based in part, at least, on 1910. And so this film was sort of dramatizing that flood plan and what might happen today.
Well, I'm sure they also were very aware of what was happening in New Orleans. There's a connection, mm-hmm. a French connection to New Orleans.
Right, right.
We assumed that New Orleans would not have the kind of problems it had.
Right.
Is it possible that Paris could have another serious flood?
I think it is possible.
Especially with climate change?
Right. I think it is possible. One of the things that they did to try to ward off any future floods was they built a series of reservoirs upstream from Paris. The idea being that if necessary, they could take water out of the Seine and put it into the so-called Great Lakes of France. But really, it's one of those systems where one of those things where you don't know if it will work until the system is tested at its extreme levels. And so, I think even the people who run that system wonder about whether it would have the necessary effect.
You said at the beginning that this is not a story that most French people are familiar with. I would assume that with the 100th anniversary, books would be published in France as well. Mm-hmm. Have there been?
Not a lot. I saw when I just came from Paris actually last week, and I saw one book in a bookstore. Currently, there is an exhibition up right now at one of the museums. It's a wonderful exhibition actually that has lots of photographs. And lots of posters and documents and other things. So there are efforts at commemoration that are going on right now. There's actually a display right in front of City Hall that shows some of the boats, the kinds of boats that were used during rescue. But I haven't seen a lot of books being published. Now, maybe they're coming, but I haven't seen them yet.
Well, maybe in 2011, when that film's inundation
right.
is scheduled to take place. Jeffrey Jackson will be giving a talk and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at Idlewild Books. That's at 19th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. The book, Paris Underwater, How the City of Light Survived the Great Flood of 1910, published by Macmillan Palgrave. Or is it Palgrave Macmillan?
It's Palgrave Macmillan.
Thank you so much for being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.